Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
This is Phil Nee. It's time we put our little records away, and we'll bring some friends into the community studio with us here in WRCO's morning show. That's straight ahead. It's currently 56 degrees. News this hour at 9 on WRCO-FM in Richland Center is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Sources tell ABC that Lindsay Halligan, the new U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, is preparing to go to a grand jury to try to get an indictment against former FBI head James Comey. ABC Chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce with more.
When Halligan reported to work Monday, sources tell ABC News prosecutors presented her with a memo recommending that Comey not be charged with the crime, saying there was not enough evidence. But sources tell us Halligan is prepared to seek an indictment anyway, that she will soon attempt to convince a grand jury there is probable cause to charge Comey with lying to Congress and obstruction of justice.
The White House telling agencies to prepare for large-scale firings of federal workers if the government shuts down next week. ICE facilities stepping up security following the deadly shooting at a detention center in Dallas Wednesday. Starbucks plans to lay off 900 employees, says it'll close some U.S. and Canadian stores. This is ABC News. New demands for accountability after the deadly crash earlier this year between a passenger plane and an Army chopper.
The first of what's expected to be dozens of lawsuits stemming from January's mid-air collision between a regional American Airlines jet and an Army helicopter near Washington. The civil suit, filed on behalf of crash victim Casey Crafton, claims American and the regional carrier operating the flight, along with the FAA and the Army, were negligent.
ABC's Andrew Fuji. Quite the operation in Maine to free a moose trapped in an abandoned well. It took 5 hours and included sedating the moose, running straps around it, and then lifting it out of the well with an excavator.
This is a majestic, giant animal in such a precarious situation. So to be able to see everyone come together in all these different ways that they needed to was absolutely incredible. And then seeing it work out was just so satisfying and heartwarming.
That's Delaney Gardner, who watched the whole thing unfold. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open every day at 11 a.m., the Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or to carry out.
A funeral service can help us remember the person who died and share our unique memories with others, creating hope for the future. This is Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Our goal is to allow families to create a funeral service that recalls good moments and special times. We also want you to have a service that allows healing to begin. We are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center and Muscadet.
The Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest continues today on WRCO. It's the second word to know, and text in to us today. Here is this hour's word. It is bay. B-A-Y. Bay. It's the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest from WRCO. Download the Civic Media app if you've not done so. Find WRCO. Use the text button at the bottom of your screen, and you can text that in also at 608-647-4155. This hour's word is bay. Pass the word, and we hope to have a whole bunch of southwestern Wisconsin winners in that contest.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and learn how to buy a home without needing 20% down.
High temps in the mid to upper 70s today. Sunshine at times and northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight with patches of late night fog and a low of 53. Friday mostly sunny and continued warmer than normal, a high of 78. Friday night a few clouds and patchy fog, a low of 53. Saturday a beautiful day and a high of 80. And Sunday mostly sunny and mild with a high of 78.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we will be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Renting your place? Then it's time to protect your space. With renter's insurance from Julie Karen State Farm, you can cover what matters most: your furniture, electronics, clothing, and more, and for a price that's surprisingly affordable. Whether it's a small apartment, a college rental, or your first home away from home, we make it simple. Plus, you'll get the remarkable local service you can always count on. Call or text Julie Karen State Farm today or start your quote at juliekarens.com. Renter's insurance that protects your things and brings you peace of mind. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Just out Richland Center sits Chicken Ridge Farm, the pumpkin patch full of fall fun for the whole clan. Youngins can bounce, slide, maze, climb, and splash at the bubble barn. This year, that U-Pick patch is looking purtier than ever. Folks bring wagons, good old shoes, to haul their own pumpkins. Or grab one atop the hill. The snack shack's wide open with vittles and drinks. Open Saturdays from 10 to 6 and Sundays from 10 to 4, now through October 26. Follow them signs clear down Chicken Ridge Road to the dead end at 18798 Chicken Ridge Road. That's Chicken Ridge Farms, where fall memories get made.
The River Valley School Fair will happen on Friday. Join WRCO Sports from reports from the River Valley School grounds with the students and those that make it happen. This year's River Valley School Fair reports on the radio are made possible by Oakwood Fruit Farm, Call Family Properties, KFP Rentals, Wisconsin Riverside Resort, Driftless Area LLC, the People's Community Bank, Wilkinson Auction, Bob's Auto Body, Vitesnik Power Sports, Walsh's Ace Hardware, Jones Chevrolet, Sunshine and Giggles, Cardinal Glass, CG, Lime Ridge Ag Supply, and Tri-County Building Supply. WRCO will take you to the River Valley School Fair coming up Friday. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On this portion of the Morning Show from WRCO, Stacy Kleiss, Clerk of Circuit Court here in Richland County, is our guest on the Morning Show. Stacy, it's been too long since you've been behind a WRCO microphone.
Yeah, I need to be careful. I have to put my filter on.
Yes.
Back on. Remember what the radio filter was.
There you go.
Yeah, I promise to behave and tell no stories.
Okay, yeah. We had a lot of fun, though, back in the day when we were co-workers.
Great times. Yeah. It's definitely a family down here.
Yes, it is. Most definitely. But you have this role. You've been at it for a little while. If I walked in, it would be overwhelming to me. I'm sure it was a learning curve at first.
It was overwhelming to me when I walked in, too, in 2007. I came in from the outside. A lot of clerks of court don't come in that avenue, but some do in the state, and it's always kind of a pleasure throughout the state to be able to mentor new clerks, especially those that have that perspective, because sometimes The ones that came in through the traditional route of they were in the office may have the opinion that, well, what do these people know? But as I tell everybody, you bring your experience and everything that you've done to this position, and I guarantee you that what you have done in your previous occupations will serve you very well in this role. And I think that having my start in the news and in the community did serve me very well, so I'm thankful for that.
When you give a tour of the courthouse and all you have some youngsters come through, that's probably the most common question. What do you do?
Yeah, that's what we do isn't as, you know, maybe as like fun and exciting, so we try not to really bore them. And, you know, we focus, we look at the age of the group and focus on what would be most interesting to them. And sometimes it's just telling them fun little history facts about the courthouse that we've come upon, you know, in our work. And, you know, so what we do in a nutshell, you know, it's we take care of the records. We make sure there's an accurate historic record of every circuit court case that ever happens. And we make sure that all of the jurors are in place whenever we need jurors. And honestly, that's probably the point that connects to most of the youth that we talk to, particularly those in high school, because once you're 18 and older and you're a Richland County resident, you're fair game for jury duty. And then you actually get to see what we do. And it's easier to just say, hey, why don't you just come in and see it? And then you'll know, you'll get that sneak peek behind the scenes, because there's a lot more to it. And it may sound boring to just, we keep the records, we collect the money, you know, we manage the budget. Well, you know, to a teenager, that does not sound very rewarding. But it is. It's very interesting. I have been very thankful to be in the position that I am, because I was always intrigued by court, and you guys knew that when I was here. I always loved covering court and going to higher profile trials and things like that. But day in, day out, it's more just connecting with the public and helping people navigate the court system, because we are the access point to the courts. You know, like if you said, I've got a problem with XYZ, can I talk to the judge? I'd say, no, Phil.
You read my mind here.
Yeah, I'm not. And I won't go any further with that.
No, that's right.
There's every case starts with some sort of petitioning document. If it's a traffic ticket, that petitioning document's the ticket that you got from the trooper or from the officer. You know, if it's a criminal case, it's the summons and complaint that brings forth the formal charges. If it's a divorce, it's a petition for divorce. Small claims action, you know, a claim for money or a claim for eviction. You know, on and on. There's always some sort of petitioning document. So every case has a beginning, every case has an end. The end is a judgment of some sort. And the clerks of court's job is to manage that judgment, to take the judge's verbal order and put it to paper so that that becomes the historic record. If someone's going to prison today, it's the judgment of conviction that the clerks of court office produced that is going to tell the prison system for how long and what the conditions of the sentence are.
And I would guess not every day is the same, right?
Never, never. And, you know, nobody has to make an appointment to visit our office. Every person that comes up to the window, unless they have an existing case that we're familiar with, we have no idea what question they're going to have. And we just do our best to listen to the question and try to help them.
Oh. Finding juries, too, you know. And in fact, I think I've been summoned a couple of times, but I've never had to serve because, you know, you call in and there wasn't a case, you know. And I mean, yeah. I think that often is the case.
It is. Most things settle without a jury trial. And a common misperception, I think people think that if we have no trials, then that must mean we have no court activity. And that can't be further from the truth. There is court activity every single day. And so a case, if it settles, what probably has happened is that it's had a series of hearings through which the two sides, the opposing sides, have disclosed their information to each other. They've talked with each other to see if there's any common ground. That may be in a civil case, you know, maybe they're going to collectively decide on what they're going to agree on for a claim, or in a divorce, what they're going to agree on for a custody arrangement. In a criminal case, maybe that's a discussion between the prosecution and the defense of, here's the charges, here's the evidence we have. And the defense saying, well, yeah, we do agree that the client is, you know, there's this, we would agree to this type of a charge or something. And if the prosecution, you know, says, yes, that's the victims are satisfied with that. The victims are an important role in a criminal process. If all the parties believe this is a proper disposition and everyone can forego the pains of a jury trial, then that is what they do. And then we end up having a plea and sentencing hearing. And, you know, sometimes those hearings are quite long, and the victims have an opportunity to address the accused, and the two parties present their sides, and the judge rules according to the law on the sentence. And that's more common what happens in most, not just in this county, but in every county throughout Wisconsin.
I guess you get the summons, and then, you know, a lot of people probably, do they try to get out of it, or are people excited when they get
it? Oh, for jury duty?
What's the reaction?
Maybe they may be excited, but not in a favorable way. So for the jury process, right now what we're doing is we're building a pool in our office for next year. So there's going to be about 1,000 residents in the county that receive a jury qualification questionnaire from us. We'll get a lot of phone calls on that. People will say, you know, I don't live in the county. What do you, okay, then great. Then fill it out, send it back. One of the questions is, are you a resident? You select no, you put what your address is now, and you're done. My health is bad. I don't feel this is a great time for me to serve. What do I do? Call your physician. Get a letter from the doctor and send that letter back with your filled out questionnaire, and we'll excuse you from the year. No questions asked. People will say, a few will say, I'm a convicted felon. I had a felony, you know, back in the 80s, and we'll ask, have you served your sentence? Are you done with your jail or prison or probation? And if they say yes, then cool. Then you are an eligible juror, which then maybe, not cool, but yeah, not everybody is excited to learn that, but that's one of the civil rights that gets restored, that along with a person's right to vote. And sometimes people have found out by serving jury duty that here for decades they haven't been voting because they thought they couldn't. They were a convicted felon. And so at some point, they weren't given the communication or misplaced the communication, maybe just didn't understand that the only right that was permanently taken away from them was the right to bear arms. So they cannot possess a firearm, but they most certainly can do jury duty and they can vote. And we've had people sitting in the jury box during the questioning that's when the epiphany came and is like, so I could have been voting for the last 20 years. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
A lot of times, you know, TVs and movies glamorize the courtroom, you know? I mean, I'm not sure if we have that in Richland County or not, but you've had some high-profile cases.
We have. And to be honest, we recently had a homicide case that I would say had all of the elements of what you would expect to see on TV. I mean, it was very interesting. It was very hard fought between both prosecution and defense. Just very, very interesting with a collection of evidence and testimony, all of it. It was something what you would have seen probably on the screen, but often that's not the case. Still, very few people walk away from jury duty saying, well, that wasn't interesting. I think the insight to the process and to the justice system is really, you know, we hear so much and see so much now on social media about, you know, the courts, everybody, just like people do with the media. And you and I both know that we cringe when people say the media isn't balanced or this and that. Well, what media? What level? What are you talking about? And I know that, you know, just as you guys strive for accuracy always here, the courts strive for fairness and for, you know, the discovery of all the actual facts and evidence. And that's what they rule on. Later this fall, in about a month, Richland County is going to have justice on wheels at our courthouse. And that's when the Wisconsin Supreme Court visits a county courthouse and does their cases for a day there. When that happens, people will have a chance to see. Oh my goodness, I am so sorry.
That's all right.
I was going to have that. That's so bad.
No problem.
And the worst part?
You're always on call.
Well, I'm not. I shouldn't be. I'm so sorry. When the Supreme Court comes, people will see that the Supreme Court, no matter what its makeup, whatever people's political backgrounds and affiliations are, that doesn't come into the decisions that are being made, at least not in the cases that are going to be before the court that day. Mm-hmm. And so I think if people would take the opportunity to maybe visit a courthouse, watch some hearings, whether it's that day or just a normal day with our own court, that they would realize this isn't their perceptions maybe are being tainted by social media. Social media is not the best place to get your news.
Very definitely. I would agree. Justice on Wheels, October 27th. So what can you tell us a little bit more about that and what it means to the community?
So up until COVID, it's my understanding, the Wisconsin Supreme Court would come to a Wisconsin county like once a year or whatever and hear their oral arguments in cases that are in front of their court. So people in that county would have a chance to see what normally would only be done down at the state capitol, down at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But when they come to the counties, they use your courtroom as their courtroom for the day. So that all got suspended during COVID. They weren't going out to the county. So it's been a good 4 years or so since they've done that. And when they picked up and said, hey, we want to start doing this again, they chose Richland County to do it, which I think is a real honor to us that we're doing that. It presents a few logistical challenges, but in our courthouse, which are all things that we're taking care of to make sure that the day goes as it needs to and that we have capacity for everybody who wants to come in. Everybody's going to be able to see the arguments. So the justices will arrive in the morning. They'll go into the courtroom. They will be seated right there in our courtroom like our judge would. And then they'll hear arguments from the attorneys that are presenting cases to them.
What is your role that day then?
To sit back and watch like everybody else. They have their own clerk. So, and actually the clerk of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is a good friend of mine, Sam Christensen. He was the clerk of court in Racine County. And he and I served together as officers in the Wisconsin Clerks of Circuit Court Association. He was actually my vice president when I was the president of the association. And then he got the role as the clerk of the Supreme Court and of the Court of Appeals. So Sam will be with us that day. Folks will have a chance to meet him. But he takes care of the records that need to be done, that record supporting role. To the justices, like we would do with our own circuit court. So my role is to help coordinate things for the day. I'm working with staff from down at the Capitol and from the Supreme Court, and the Capitol Police, and the sheriff is working with them, and our maintenance crew is working with them, and our IT people are working with them to make sure that we can pull this off without a hitch.
Speaking of the state capitol, I think you're on your way a little bit later on today. Can you talk about what you'll be doing today?
Later this morning, there's going to be some discussion in at committee level on some bills that affect court finances at the county level. So the Wisconsin Clerks of Circuit Court have become, I don't know if you say, we're not lobbyists. We have become more vocal at a legislative level in the last few years. We're really fighting to get more funding for the counties at the court level, because the circuit courts are a state and county partnership. And when I think of a partnership, I think of 50-50. And I think that was the original intent. But over the years, what has happened is it's just become kind of lopsided, maybe to the point of 80-20, and that may be a generous, that 20%, that might be a generous amount coming back to the counties. It may be closer to 10. So of when fees and surcharges and all of those things are addressed by the Wisconsin legislature and they're set, if when I say somebody gets a traffic ticket, the majority of that money that they end up paying goes to the state of Wisconsin. Very little of it comes to the county. Even the fees for filing cases, very little of that stays with the county. A portion does. But the idea of the legislation that we're trying to affect is that any increases in any of the fees would be for the counties. Right now, we need that balance to try to shift closer back to a 50-50. We were successful as an association earlier in the year. We actually got more money for the counties from the state budget. And I think $10 million was the additional money that then is split between all 72 counties, and counties much larger than us, of course, get a much larger share of that. But that is in the circuit court support payment that we get every year. A lot of people at the county board level, when I told them we were doing this, you know, I heard comments of, "Well, good luck. And, you know, there's not even going to be a budget, Stacy." And I said, "Well, we'll see. Thanks." And so we forge forward as a clerk of court association. Some of us who have been at this for a while, you know, are pretty confident in what we do and what it all means. And so we were making various trips to the Capitol, meeting with our lawmakers. Representative Tony Kurtz was a godsend. He really helped us through this. He kind of coached us of, you know, you guys have a good message, but here's some things that you need to do, you know, to make it stronger. It sounds like you're already working with the Wisconsin Counties Association. That's great. Keep doing that. So that was the biggest piece, was when the Wisconsin Counties Association said, "Hey, this isn't right that counties are only getting 20% or less of all of these things." They made court funding for the counties their number one priority in the budget session. And that was huge. Having the Wisconsin Counties Association back us, that was big. So on Monday, I had the privilege of presenting at the Wisconsin Counties Association conference with three of my colleagues, three other clerks of court. Two were from large counties, and two of us were from small counties. And we led a panel about what we do as clerks of court. And we've decided we need to be a little bit more present with these things. There's always work to do every day at the office and the courtroom, but we can't ignore that we have work to do to legislate for our counties, because we just can't ignore the funding at the state level. So, and at that point, Phil, and I know I could just like talk forever, sorry, but I must do a shout out right now to Sarah Earhart and DJ Adams. Sarah is my chief deputy at the clerk of court's office, and DJ is our deputy clerk. And those guys do heavy lifting every day, and I don't think that they get the recognition that they deserve. And they're working down there while I'm here with you, and they'll be working down there while I'm down at the Capitol too. So Sarah and DJ, thank you guys. And I hope the powers that be at the county realize what valuable assets those two are.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, none of our counties are doing that well Mm-mm. financially. I know it's been well said, Richland is struggling. And another thing you talked about is the facilities. I mean, it's a historic courthouse and courtroom, and I love history, but it's kind of serving its purpose, isn't it?
Yes. And it is beautiful, and it's old, and technically it's not, you know, if you equate old with historic, yes, but as far as registered as historic, no. And that is because of the modifications that were done, like, in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, sure.
Including to, like, the roof line and all of that kind of stuff. So it's, we're not under any, like, historic preservation guidelines when we do things, but it's a challenge every time that we do have to make modifications to accommodate, like, Zoom. We have one courtroom that is set up for it, one that is not. And that might sound like not a big deal, but we often have two judges presiding at one time. Even though we're a one-judge county, we will have visiting judges on our cases. And that happens for a multitude of reasons. But they have to come to Richland County or Zoom to Richland County whenever their calendars allow. So what happens in the small courtroom is that if we have a visiting judge and we have parties that are appearing by Zoom, or maybe parties that are like in the prison system. So to avoid an expensive transport or the security issues related to that, that person may be appearing electronically by Zoom. Well, perhaps the large courtroom where our main judge is, where Judge McDougall is, they need the Zoom as well because they have similar situations to that. So then in the small courtroom, we don't have the ability to make those connections. Sometimes we have situations where we have defendants or other individuals in cases having to come up a couple feet from the judge with no barriers in between, trying to speak into a device. I don't know what you would call them, where you have multiple people on the phone call. I'm not an IT person, clearly.
Like a conference call of some
sort. Yeah, like a conference call, you know. And then you have the court reporter who's over further on the side of the room saying, I can't hear this. I can't pick this up. So it's not making the record. These are all problems. You have the security. You have the sound system. In that room, the air registers don't work great. So it's feast or famine as far as hot and cold. And so when it's beastly hot and the air conditioning needs to run in there, we have to shut those registers off because they're so loud that we can't get and we can't make an actual record. I mean, these are basic problems, you know, and of course, you know, the bats in the courthouse, which really are a big deal. That's a, you know, public health thing. Mm-hmm. It's common to have bat dung on our desk in the courtroom and things. And we had a bat flying around during that jury trial, actually. You know, hopefully we don't have any bats or any other vermin during the Justice on Wheels Day. Mm-hmm. That would be bad. Those kind of things, we joke about them in Richland because we're so used to them. But they're really not cool, and we could do better, I think.
You've never had a media frenzy case since you've been there, have you?
No. Part of that is because we're, except for having local media, we're kind of in a media desert because of our distance from Madison and La Crosse. So we have had cases that are definitely worthy of having large media there. I can picture scenes of things happening in the courtroom and on those types of cases, and with nobody except for WRCO in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. If we were a little closer to Madison or La Crosse, I bet they'd be in the courtroom quite often.
The only thing that we've had in terms of a media frenzy is when they located Mr. Jakubowski that one time, you know, and I remember here getting calls from CNN and
sure.
whoever it was, Fox and everybody else calling, confirming, you know, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, we got kind of inundated that day, but that was as close as we came.
The clerk of court's office at the beginning of a case, like when somebody's first arrested in something high profile. Often the media outlets, particularly from Madison, will be contacting us and getting copies of the complaint and making requests to the judge to set up cameras and audio in the courtroom. And then if you notice, when they do that, often they'll take some video of a person sitting at the table or being brought in shackles into the courtroom. Every time then after that, that they put that story on the air, it will be that same footage. So pretty much they get their clip early on and then they just, you know, have it as stock and they use it. And so I think that's the other reason that, you know, we don't often, you know, see them again after that point.
Interesting stuff. Well, we wish you well today. Good
Thank
luck
you.
in your quest to get the county a little bit more. And that's
Thank you.
A great
yeah,
thing.
We need it. We need that luck. And if anybody out there gets a jury qualification questionnaire, don't freak out. It doesn't mean that you're being summoned. It's to build the pool for next year. And we'll provide Phil with a link that will help you fill that out electronically,
mm-hmm.
Which saves you time, which saves you postage, and you know it saves your time. It'll save time on our end, and we really appreciate everyone who serves as jurors. The justice system could not operate without you, because not everything can be resolved without a jury trial, and so jurors play a very important role in the American justice system.
So you said you'll be looking for about 1,000 different residents for the jury pool then, or
yeah.
sending that many out anyway?
We'll be sending, I think it's like 1,025
mm-hmm.
is what we ended up getting this year. We ask the state court to help get us the jurors. It comes from an interface with the Department of Transportation. So the state court records are tied to the Department of Transportation records, not to voting records. Still, some people think that's not true. So anybody that has a Wisconsin driver's license or a Wisconsin ID, photo ID, you're fair game. You're in their system, in the DOT system. So when we ask for a batch of names, I think this year I said, hit us with like 1,300, knowing that there will be a shrink factor in there, because then their system automatically is throwing out people that they know live in other counties that now are deceased. That also somehow it catches if they had prior jury service. But for a lot of things, it won't catch all of that. It just can't. And so that's why the qualification process is so important. But this year, from whatever we ask for, 1,200, 1,300, I don't remember, we netted 1,025. So we'll send those 1,025 out. We'll probably end up with a pool of 800 or so jurors for next year. And so each month when we summons like 50, 60 people, the system will randomly select through those 800 people. But if you never get a qualification questionnaire, you are never going to be summoned for jury duty.
Good to know.
So, yeah.
Fascinating stuff. We'll have you back, and you know we have a lot more things we can talk about.
Stacey. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thanks for the time. Thanks for having me on.
Richland County Circuit Court Clerk, that is Stacey Kleiss, joining us here on WRCO Radio. And we have more coming up on The Morning Show.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. They put people first, offering great benefits, growth opportunities, and a positive, supportive environment. Rockwell is proud to stand behind its employees and support the Richland Center community every step of the way. Rockwell Automation, a great place to work, a great neighbor to have. Now hiring. Learn more today at rockwellautomation.com.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road. We have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hi, I'm Tom from the People's Community Bank in Richland Center. Have you been thinking about your dream home for some time now? We can help that dream home become a reality. With customized home loan options to fit your needs, we're sure to find a solution that works for you. Stop by our office in downtown Richland Center or visit us online at thepcb.bank to start our easy and simple home loan process. That's what we call simply good banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Every family is touched in some way by memory loss. September is World Alzheimer's Month, and the Richland Hospital and Clinic's Geriatric Assessment Clinic would like to recognize the patients and families in our community who are on this challenging journey. You are not alone. Our clinic offers assessments that can identify the early signs of this disease and provides treatment options and other resources that can slow cognitive decline and support patients and families. Reach out to learn more.
From private beach homes and oceanfront condos on Florida's Panhandle to the frozen tundra near Green Bay's Lambeau Field, Call Properties offers luxury vacation rentals for everyone. With stunning views of Navarre Beach, Panama City Beach, Green Bay and Seneca, Wisconsin, plus local stays at the Ramada White House in Richland Center and Round Barn Lodge in Spring Green. Unforgettable locations are just a booking away. Learn more at kfprentals.com. That's kfprentals.com.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
The fall season is here. Time to think about getting your car ready for winter. When was the last time you had your coolant checked or flushed, got a tune-up, or checked your tires or alignment? Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Stop and see us for all your fall service needs. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street in downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Today's word to text in this hour, it is the word bay, B-A-Y, in the statewide, multi-state, go for the green and gold text to win contest in WRCO. Again, this hour's word is bay, to be a part of the winning here across the state of Wisconsin and multi-states. Chance for you to win today, so remember that. We'll have another word for you later on this morning. The morning show continues here on WRCO as we welcome more studio guests in. Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio, and we have guests in the studio promoting the upcoming community forum, which is happening Monday, September 29th here in Richland Center. And joining us, we have Mayor Todd Coppernall from the City of Richland Center. We have Mike Hardy representing the Simons Recreation Complex, and Bruce Raisler, Chief Executive of the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Glad to have you here today, fellas, and talking about this important event. Todd, why do you think this is important for our community?
Well, we started to do these community forums a couple of years ago as an opportunity to let people know what each entity, each government entity, and now we've incorporated Bruce with the hospital into some of this as well, so our people know what we're all working on. And more importantly, I think, than that, just an open, more relaxed atmosphere to ask questions to any of us, which we do every time. And it helps us too. People are happy when they hear from us and they go home with new information, but it helps us too, because the nature of the questions we get asked sort of help us as we're moving forward as well. What are the people most concerned about? And I've never had anything but positive feedback every time we've done one.
The first one you did was right after the campus closing. And so that one was a pretty heated night, wasn't
it? Yeah, and the campus situation at that time dominated the questions. And so the county fielded a lot of them. It's their property, and that had just happened. So that we did go through that. And then we also had an experience. Steve Board from the schools will tell you that he was very grateful after we kind of got through the first one. In hindsight, he kind of looked back. The schools had been preparing a referendum, and he was able to do a PowerPoint demonstration at the first one to really explain why to a group of people that were his audience. They were tuned in, intent, and listening in the room with him, and could see what he was trying to say on the screen and ask him questions. And he noticed right away that that had impact for the public and for the people at the schools. And that was, he kind of was the star of that one, whether he meant to be or not, just on the calendar of what they had going on.
Who will be represented at this forum coming up on Monday?
Well, we'll have the city, the county, the school district. Bruce will be there too, from the hospital. We'll have kind of a good cross panel from the three entities and Bruce down there to make sure people have a chance to ask and answer. And we all look forward to this as much as the public does.
Do you all meet together then from time to time to kind of go over what's been talked about at these forums?
We do. We call it the joint collaboration meeting, and we meet every few months. It's not monthly. It's when we need to, when there's you know, good stuff to talk about. And it's just sharing information. And I've given these examples before, but I'll do it as many times as I can because I think they're great things. From the first, it wasn't even called anything yet. The first, why don't we talk, was Marty Brewer, when he was the county board chair, called me and said, let's get together. And the two of us met with Steve Board from the schools, and Steve brought Aaron Unbehan with him from the school board. And we just met informally in the conference room at City Hall, and we talked about what was going on in each place. And from that first conversation, eventually East Hall transferred from county ownership to school district ownership, and the school district used it to put in their partner school, which now has a wait list. Is with a complete culture shift, a positive culture shift has taken place in the Richland School District in recent years. You see test scores much better and things like that. They also have enrollment headed upward again in the right direction, and that partner school has had a big impact that way. And when I say that, that's great for those kids who participate, but don't forget that a significant amount of state aid, it's tied to your student enrollment. So each kid in, it eases the burden on the taxpayers too. And all of that started from a simple conversation in a conference room, which really hadn't been happening in years gone by. There wasn't open communication like this between these entities. I don't know if there's one reason, or it just wasn't made a priority probably. And I'll give Marty the credit forever. He started it, and here we are. And as we've gone along, we've been able to help each other out several times, and we've added a few more people to the room, the hospital being a great example. And I'm glad we're doing it. I hope it never stops.
Certainly very important. Everybody gains when somebody new moves to town, and the school district gains, and, you know, perhaps an employer in town, or, you know, whatever. The Simons Recreation, they gain membership. I mean, we all gain if you can attract people to town, right?
Well, we do. We're all in the same small city in the same small county, right? We're sharing the same concerns and the same assets as well. So what do we need? Across the board, in a local employer, business owner, city, schools, county, what do we need? What do we have? What things are working well? Share ideas. We've tried this. It worked well. Maybe you could do that too. Or we're struggling with this. And that oftentimes comes down to finding new employees or retaining them. A lot of competition for people. We're in a kind of a different era. I still think a lot of people just don't have a reason to pay attention, I guess, haven't caught up to the fact that not just in Richland Center, but pretty much anywhere you look right now, you have a rapidly aging workforce and fewer babies than we've had in a very long time. So you look at demographic trends and they scare the daylights out of you. They really scare the daylights out of you. You're talking about projections that 20 years from now, this county could lose as much as 25% of its population. That's not from me. Okay, that's based on average age of today's people with the birth rates to replace those people. And it's 21, 22% in Crawford County, 19% in Grant County. So when you look at how many of our people are over age 50 right now, we got to get some young people in there. And what do we run into? No place to move, no house. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. You know, we tried to move in. We tried to recruit a teacher, a doctor, a police officer, and they didn't take the job because they couldn't find a home. That's a routine problem here we're all acutely aware of, and it's one we're all trying to address together. And we've got to do this. We've got to do this. If you still, and if I say to you, 20 to 25% population decline, if you think your property taxes upset you today, imagine that many fewer participants. You will have no choice but to continuously raise taxes while you continuously cut services. And that's no place anybody wants to be. So we're all taking action right now to try to get ahead of what the projections say we'll be dealing with in 20 years, to try to reverse those trends if we can, or at least soften that change into the right direction.
Bruce Raisler, why is it important for the Richland Hospital to be a part of the community forum, do you feel?
Well, to the same reasons that Todd is speaking to, I think the demographics certainly have a big impact on the future of our organization. You know, when you consider a potential 20-25% decline in population, that's not merely patients to us or customers to some other businesses. That is also a decline in workforce and an overall reduction in our capability of delivering services, and really is the greatest threat to the well-being of the hospital and clinic, but our community at large.
When you look at, that's the answer to the trivia question, Richland Hospital, largest employer in Richland County. I think a lot of people forget that, Bruce.
I think they do. I mean, we have quietly gone about our business for 101 years now, and people don't have the realization that we have typically about 425 people on our payroll, you know, many part-time as well as full-time, but we are a large employer. We're a big contributor to the local economy. Therefore, our employees, you know, buy groceries and gas and insurance and everything else. So we want to have a healthy workforce. And then when you consider, you know, that, you know, nationally, healthcare is such a large part of the American economy, you know, something like 18% of the gross domestic product. Unless we have a local healthcare service, those dollars once spent by Richland area residents elsewhere don't return to our area. So it's in our own economic self-interest as well as health and healthcare interest to have a strong local healthcare system.
When you're trying to recruit a prospective employee, I'm guessing housing comes into play, right?
It frequently does enter into it. I'm aware of some circumstances where would-be employees, you know, want to live in Richland. Perhaps they're going to be on call even, so they need a quick response time to the hospital, but they can't find housing, either interim or permanent housing nearby. So that can be a turnoff, and sometimes we lose those prospective employees.
Patients at your clinic have noticed some upgrades and some rebuilding. How is that going?
Well, we continue after it. It's been a year-long project here to fix a lot of deficiencies in our current facilities. I couldn't name all the projects, but we've done some roof replacement and repair and flooring and window replacement, any number of things. We've added additional emergency generator capacity, additional ventilation, just trying to keep up with codes, you know. As people are aware, we've been in this same location for over 100 years. That doesn't mean our building is 100 years old, but parts of it are very old, and buildings wear out. And while we're still anticipating a someday new facility, we have to keep the old one meeting contemporary codes and standards, and so we're working at that.
That was going to be my next question, because I know we were on a couple of years ago trying to talk about that possibility, and it's been put off. But I'm guessing you could get that kind of question at the community forum on Monday night, could you?
Well, I'd welcome the opportunity to talk about it. You know, it's... as I just said, it's like any other building. Eventually, buildings wear out. They wear out in terms of technology or design, and they don't meet how you would like to serve patients, or perhaps the building systems like ours. Our building controls are pneumatic versus having digital controls, and that means that it's hard to get parts, and it's hard to hire mechanics who have that knowledge base. So we have my metaphor is we have the best, well cared for 8-track tape player around. But there will come a day, and we're planning for that in the next several years to come, where we will be forced to start entirely over.
Mm-hmm. And every year that goes by, building materials and things like that, and the costs go up a little bit, don't they?
They surely do. That's what really shocked us a couple years ago when the board made the difficult decision to pause further planning. Just the costs of replacement construction had outstripped the design that we wanted to put in place. So we think if things go well over the next several years, that we're looking at about 2032 plus or minus when we'd be able to contemplate breaking ground. So here again, another analogy I use is this is an analogous to having a 10-year-old and you're saving for college. And that's what the hospital is trying to do right now, is accumulate money to pay that someday college bill. But in the meantime, we have to make sure that the building is up to code and we're delivering good quality care.
I know the foundation's probably been looking ahead to that as well, right? They meet regularly?
The foundation meets monthly, and really their mission is all about serving the future of the hospital, and really a couple different ways when you think about it. One is saving up for bricks and mortar, sure, and or medical equipment, the things that enhance the patient experience. But scholarships to young people and adult learners as well is a key part of what they do. Here, again, we're talking about workforce in a roundabout way. The hospital and the foundation are both very keen on helping people who are pursuing additional training in whatever healthcare field is relevant to us, so that they are able to come back to our community and serve our interests. And here again, it takes a village. I mean, our organization, we have people with a high school degree, we have people with a doctorate degree, not just in clinical training like nurses and therapists and lab technicians, but we have mechanics and cooks and environmental services technicians and bookkeepers and other clerical jobs. Takes them all. So we're very interested in helping to develop our workforce, and the foundation and the scholarships that they provide are a part of making that future happen.
Mike Hardy is here as well, director of Simons. Mike, I know you've been a part of, this will be the third one, community forum that you've been a part of, but why is it important for Simons to be there?
Well, you know, Simons is kind of the ultimate collaborative partner that, you know, for almost 40 years now, since 1987, it's been a partner project between the city and the county, both funding 50% of it. That's gone on forever. In fact, the MOU was extended for another year now, just between the county and the city. School district has also been involved with a lot of the activities that we do. So it's, you know, obviously we're the ultimate collaborative partner. So part of the reason why I think some of these have gotten a little bit more important. I know I didn't attend the first one that was here. We lived in town here, but I wasn't at the first one. I did attend the second one, which was the referendum, and that's one that kind of drew me here. The position opened for the director here about a month or two afterwards. And really before that, I had no plans on leaving Baraboo. At the time, I was the Parks and Recreation Director in Baraboo, and had been there for about 14 years, and coming here really wasn't a thought in my mind. My family was here. We lived here. But really, the money was a lot better there. I had, Parks and Recreation is something I've been doing for about 30 years now. But just going to that forum and just hearing the collaboration between the city, the county, the school district, the presentation that Steve did just really impressed me. And shortly after the position opened, and I know it was a big cut in pay. It was starting over in a position that needed to have some big renovation work done. So big job that way. But it really kept coming back to that the city, the county, the school district, Simons were all really at this place where they really wanted to work together. You could see that there was a lot of professionals that were involved, and there was a lot of motivation to kind of move forward, and that really, really interested me. Kind of brought my interest back to Richland Center, to Richland County. So I went after it, and I'm glad I did. So we're happy to be invited and part of that. I think for us, obviously, so much of this impacts us just with housing and economic development in the city and the county. So much with the school district, with what's going on there, everything with all the businesses and with the hospital. We also partner a lot with the hospital and the doctors there, because